Hey yo, hey yo. I don't know if you remember, but the music of that was a little boring, so I switched up the music on that intro. I was so excited to share with you guys that this morning, and then nobody came to church. I'm all sad. We always start out with a shout. Now, we added something. Some of the kids, you guys know that we used to shout one thing, but the parents know we've added two things to shout out together. And so for the kids, I'm going to tell you what we're going to shout. We're going to shout, I'm going to ask you, what do we do? Oh my goodness. I'm going to ask you, what do we do? And then you're going to shout, love God. It's on our poster here. And love others. And then I'm going to say, what do we say? And you're going to shout out, I love God and I love you. Now, it may seem a little bit weird shouting in your house, or maybe not. I don't know if you're a shouty house, if dad perhaps has been shouting at the Eagles versus Cowboys game. I don't know if you've heard them scream at the TV, so maybe it's not that strange to shout in your home. But or maybe you've been watching the Voice finale and you're like, no, I want person to win, and you shout out at your house. So it's not that weird. It's okay to shout really loud in just a moment. I want you to be able to wake up the neighbors. And so we're going to shout. I'm going to say, what do? You shout, love God and love others. And I'm going to say, what do we say? I love God and I love you. Okay, are you ready for this in your house? It's a contest, kids versus adults. Kids, you're going to hear your parents shout, because I know they are going to do it with all of their heart. Ready? What do? Love God and love others. What do we say? I love God and I love you. Oh, man. Thank you guys for doing that. I hope that was a lot of fun at home. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the importance of connecting to God spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. And so we're going to finish up our series on Connect. And the irony is incredible this morning, because we're going to talk about connecting to creation. And it's going to have two movements today. First, connecting to creation in the normal sense that you think of creation, like nature, animals, the universe, etc. And the second movement is a subset of creation, but it's the most important subset. It's creating, connecting to other people. Now, the irony is that we are currently attempting to not connect with creation, a virus, right? And we are not currently able to connect with one another, human beings. And so there is a little bit of irony here this morning as I share this message. So our current circumstances notwithstanding, it is really important to connect to creation. So the first movement that we want to see is connect to, as we talk about, is connect to creation. Now, God is so interesting and so creative. He made snails. Snails are really interesting. God made grass that can grow with sunlight and water. God created the universe, space, and stars. I was thinking the other day about the expanse of space, and I thought that perhaps God made our universe so large. You know, like, if you ever watched online how big the universe is, it's like, gets bigger and bigger exponentially, and it's like, it just seems like it's impossibly big. And I was thinking about it, and that it's expanding. It's big and getting bigger. And as I was thinking about it, I'm like, God, I wonder why you did that. And one of the things I was thinking is, I wonder if God just created the universe big so I wouldn't feel trapped. Can you imagine if the universe ended at our moon? We've already flown to the moon as human beings. Then you're like, well, now I'm stuck. I'm trapped. I'm at the edge of the box. But God says, here, I'm going to make an enormous box, and then I'm going to make it expand so that you can't even catch up to it in your fastest rocket ship ever. And so I was thinking that maybe God just created the expanse of the universe so that for my benefit, that I wouldn't feel trapped. And I was thinking about it also. Plus, God's infinite, and he has unlimited resources, so it doesn't tax him anymore to create something really big or really small. Like, he doesn't use up his power by creating an enormous universe. It's not a waste of space. It's not a waste of energy or time, because he can't waste space, time, or energy, because he has unlimited amounts of it. And so perhaps as I think about the universe, it's pretty amazing. So as we're thinking about it, and we're wanting to create to the universe, connect to the universe, I think for us, we've got to get out and be in nature. Now, I say connect to the universe, but I don't quite mean like the universe as if the universe is a person, because the universe is not. I think the universe and God's creation is an important conduit for us to connect to God. A conduit is a connection helper. And so when I go in nature, it really does help me hear God. It helps me see God. It helps me notice God. It helps reframe my place in this universe, that God is bigger than myself. So get into nature. Creation itself, it itself is not something to be worshipped, but rather the one who created it. Check out what God's word says about creation. In the psalm, it says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, and no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into the earth, their words to the ends of the world." And in the New Testament, in Romans, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, they've been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." What this tells me is when I go into nature, I got to expect connection with God. His universe shouts out his glory. So if that's the case, and I go out expecting to hear from God, meet God, to connect to God in his creation, then I got to expect that's going to happen. So I want you to get out into nature. Go surfing. Like, I know some of our surfer men here, they would love to take you. If you don't know how to surf, young people, there are some men who would love to take you because they need an excuse to go surfing, to tell their wives. And they would love to teach a young person to surf or an old person to surf. I'm not going to learn to surf. I'm scared of the sharks in the water. So that's all you in there. But there's some people who would love to take you out. Go connect to God through nature that way. Maybe take a nature walk. Look, it's not good enough to just follow James and Mee Young on their Instagram as they go on nature walks. Like, that's fantastic. I love that they do, and I love they share it with us. And they're always in really cool places. And I don't know how they find all these places, and they're always on a nature walk. But you got to go on your own nature walk. It is not good enough to live vicariously through James and Mee Young. Ooh, look where we are today. Not enough. So go on your nature walk. Even if you live in the city, like I live in the city, on my Instagram, I just post flowers all the time because I have to search for them as I go on a prayer walk, you know, every day or every other day. And I live in the city, I gotta find, like, I'm on people's like porches sometimes. I'm like leaning over their backyard to get these photos because there's not a lot of nature in this city. But you can find a green belt, find a little patch of grass where you just focus in on that and meet God in nature. Volunteer at an animal shelter. Animals are fantastic creations of God. And when we look at them, they draw us nearer to him. Like, I know this vet in Corona, he'd love for you to volunteer there if you want to go down there. Or an animal shelter. There's a horse place where you can go pet and feed horses right in Fullerton. I don't know where you live, but there's some really cool places where you should just go down and be with some animals. Now, again, we're in the city, so animals are a little hard to find. Kids, your parents are going to let you go out today and look for some roly-polies if you want to grab those bad boys. I know they eat poop, but that's okay. You can go ahead and find one of those, and you hold them in your hands, and they roll up. Don't hurt them. Just play with them. Let them crawl up your arm. Maybe mom wants to hold it. Maybe she doesn't. And then let that little bad boy go back. Just find some nature. They're so cool to be out in nature, and we can connect to God with that way. Get out of your house at night. Take a walk with your significant other. There's double benefit. One, there's a sort of cool romantic benefit. Men and women, and then also there's this great benefit of being in, looking at God's stars, looking at the sky, looking at the clouds that he created. It's fantastic. One of my family's favorite times, the best time as a family, is we went to the beach in the off season in the evening one night. We took blankets, and it was pretty cold, so my wife had two jackets and two blankets. She's like Eskimo here in Southern California. But we went down to the beach, and we just laid out a blanket, and we had dinner, and we hung out there a little bit, and then we separated. We each went a little bit ways, and now we're panicky parents, so we made sure to watch the kids. They didn't go too far. And we had a private time of worship with God and prayer, and then we came back together, and we just had on the iPhone and like a Bluetooth speaker, and we just sang some worship songs together. It was such a fantastic time. That was one of my favorite times as a family because we were connected to one another, but we were connecting to nature and meeting God in the middle of nature. It was so cool. And so I want to encourage you guys to connect to God through his vehicle of nature. It's hard for us as city folks, so we have to be a little intentional to do it. So that's our first movement, connecting to creation and God's universe. The second movement is connecting to the subset of creation, which is human beings, and this is even more important. Now, I've told you before how I met my wife. I was in algebra class, getting an F, head on my desk, and then one day, I look back over my right shoulder, three seats back. I look back, and in an instant, in an immediate moment, I had a connection with this beautiful girl three seats back. And this is many years ago, and I had this instant connection to her. Now, she didn't realize we had an instant connection. It was an instant one-way connection. And it actually took her 12 years to reciprocate that connection. She's a little slower on the connection piece. But we were created to connect to people. We were created to have relationships with others. Sometimes it's in an instant. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes they're romantic. Sometimes they're great friendships. Sometimes they're tough friendships that encourage us to become better. But God created us for relationship and connection to one another. We were created for community. That's why Scripture warns us not to neglect community. In Hebrews, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, that's a funny verse, and this sermon was created several weeks ago. We were thinking about this sermon topic. So it's funny that we're not actually meeting physically together, though Hebrews tells you to meet together. Meeting together, it takes time. It takes intentionality. It means, like, sometimes you have to miss the Clippers game that are at 11:30 or the 12:30 game. It means maybe an extra evening out to make it to the small groups. And so it takes intentionality. It means driving. And for some of our Jericho Road folks, you'll drive far. We got people who drive from Torrance. We got people who drive from Diamond Bar. We got people who drive from Corona. These places, not virus, Corona the city. Someone booed, and there are like three people in the audience. So you can't boo when you're one of the three people, Trevor. So some people come from Corona. Trevor did come from Corona today. He didn't bring the virus, I hope, with him. So people travel far. You go out of your way to get here, and that's fantastic. Keep it up. Like, it takes effort. You got to get out of your PJs. You got to get up. Just not for the rest of March. Stay in your PJs, stay home, and then we'll be together, hopefully, in April. And so the Bible tells us it's important that we don't neglect meeting together. As for Christians, part of the importance comes in when I become a Christian, it changes relationships with people. Now, it doesn't change relationships with non-Christians. I still have a relationship with them that's pretty similar. But this weird thing happens when we become a Christian. We join an absolutely new family, and it changes things for us. It changes our relationships. It connects us differently. It intensifies relationships, and it beautifies them. In Galatians, Paul says this, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew or Gentile. There's no longer a slave or free distinction. There's not male or femaleness. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." All humans were designed to connect. However, when we connect to Christ, it opens up a previously inaccessible connection route. If you don't have Jesus, I can only tell you about it. You can't experience this. Knowing Jesus creates a new avenue of connection that was not available to people who are believers. A deep oneness where other things that used to matter don't matter. Slave or free, economy doesn't matter. Male or female, social designations don't matter. Jew or Gentile, racial differences don't matter. A connection to Christ changes connections to people and allows a new route so that I could be one with other believers, that I could meet with them, and I could connect to them in a way that isn't available to non-believers. And connecting has benefits. It makes us better, and it makes people that we meet better. There's this proverb that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Now, this proverb promises a positive outcome for connections. But in order to have this positive outcome, there has to be sparks. For iron to sharpen iron, it has got to hit, ring out, cause sparks, cause noise. Honest relationships, they're going to cause sparks. They're going to be difficult. They're going to make loud noise sometimes, but they're going to cause us to be better human beings, better followers of Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. It tells us don't shy away from those honest connections, but as iron sharpens iron, banging, grinding, hitting, it's going to cause you to get sharper and better as you do that. Make sure to develop relationships that make you better. As a Christian community, I don't want to just have fluffy relationships. I don't want to just have niceties where we tell one another platitudes or things we're supposed to say. It is okay, but if you love me and I love you, we are both going to be sharper for it. And so as a community, we want to welcome that. There is a benefit to connections. But we want to make sure that those connections are positive. In Thessalonians, the Bible says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact that you're already doing. So I want you to consider a moment how you interact with people. When the person walks away from the interaction that you have with people, are they better off? Is this verse true for you in all of your interactions? Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just in fact you're doing. After someone has interacted with you, whether that's for a small time in every relational connection, maybe it's a fleeting time, maybe it's with a waitress or a barista or just someone driving by you, even that fleeting moment, it doesn't matter if it's a short moment or a long moment, a long relationship, like with your spouse or with your kids, that's a long relationship. What if in every interaction with you, that person went away built up and encouraged? Maybe you look over and you just smile and wave at the person. That was a small interaction, but they go away better. Maybe you don't take your angst out on the person serving you because they're just serving you. They're bringing you food. They're serving. Make that interaction a positive one. How about this? What if your kids went away every day after every interaction with you and they were encouraged and they were built up? What if your spouse, every time you saw her, every time you saw him, every time you interacted, when you broke that interaction, they went away encouraged and built up? That's why I want to be. I'm not there, but that's what I want. I want people to walk away and they said, I interacted with Pastor Sam. It was a little awkward, because he's always awkward. But I feel better. I feel built up. I feel encouraged. That's why every time my wife walks away from me, I don't want her walking away saying, like, I don't know about him. I don't know, did we make a mistake? I don't want her thinking, like, oh, I'm so sick. I don't want to see his face. I want her to say, like, when I walk away, I can't wait to see his face again. Because you know what it's like when it's not like that in your homes, right? Husband, wife, when you love them, but you're like, man, I just don't want to see him right now. I don't want that. I want to, whenever I finish my interaction with my wife, for her to go away and be encouraged and built up. Every time with my kids, oh, kids are harder than wife for me. I told you, I instantly love my wife. It hasn't changed. I see her, I get like giddy still. See my kids, I get like, sometimes. But I want my kids to go away after every interaction with me encouraged and built up. Because our connections to people, they have not just sort of relational weight, they have spiritual weight. In 1 Peter, Peter writes this, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve one another. Here's the, listen to this part. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You see, in our interactions, we're not just connecting for connection's sake. We were built for connections. But we get this opportunity to be stewards of God's grace. A steward is someone who takes care of something. And a steward of God's grace is God's unmerited favor and love for you, his lean towards you, his desire to be near you. We get to carry that to people in our connections, in our interactions. We're the ones carrying it. God very rarely speaks in an audible voice, but he speaks all the time through believers. What grace are you bringing to other people? We are stewards of grace in its various forms. That's why we have various gifts. Sometimes God's love and provision comes through someone giving me a donation for a missions trip. Sometimes it goes in the way of someone writing me an encouraging note or 50 of them, right? That takes you 5 minutes to read. Sometimes God's grace comes in those folks that were here really early this morning setting this video up so you could hear it at home. They risked their lives to come down because of the coronavirus. But they did come down so that you could be blessed. They are stewarding God's grace. They are bringing God's grace to each of you. And so there's a spiritual weight in our connections. Every single one of us have a particular piece of the puzzle to bring when we interact. Every one of us has received gifts that we can use to bless other people, to be stewards of the grace. That's what God's promise is, that every single person in this room, online, every believer on this planet has something to offer to others in terms of stewarding grace. Little things and big things. This is a must. We are instruments of delivering God's grace to people. That is a huge concept. And as Jericho Road Church, if you call this place your home, you need to be intentionally using the gifts that God gave you to bless other people, to be stewards of his grace. Every single person that calls this place home. And the great part is most of our church is already doing this. This is preaching to the choir. You guys are already fantastic. Some churches have about 10 to 15% of their people serve in ministries. We have about 60 or 70% are actively serving in ministries, and the rest are serving in their other gifted areas, even if they're not actively in ministries. They're giving at giving times. They're coming out to events and that sort of stuff. If you're unsure of what gifts you might have or how you could use them, just come see me. We're a small enough church, I could just tell you exactly. If you can't figure out any gifts, I'll show you how to clean the bathrooms. They're fantastic. We got four here. It'll only take you 30 or 40 minutes. We could do it together. We could sing some worship songs. I'll meet you anytime you want to come and meet the bathroom. I'm flexible if you want to clean the bathroom together. So if you can't figure out your gift, that's my first suggestion. So I'd have you pray about it, and you figure out your gift, and you come tell me how you want to serve God's people with your gift. Connecting to others helps us navigate this world emotionally. Romans 12 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. I read this and I say, exactly. We need people to share life with. It's just better. How many times have I said, babe, come check this out? Whether I'm watching something on TV or whether I'm reading an article or whether I see something interesting outside. Whenever I see something fun, interesting, weird, crazy, disgusting, I always try to tell my wife to come see it with me. Life is better together. It's great to have that connection. How many times have I had a brother or sister encourage me when I'm hurting or overwhelmed? I get to share the joys with people. Man, I've heard people say they get a new job, and I'm so stoked for their new job. They get they're getting married, and I'm excited for their new marriage, or they're having a baby, and I get to enjoy, rejoice with them that they're having a baby. And sometimes life is difficult. And I know for me, I need people to be there when I'm joyful, but I need people to be there when I'm not. I need people to care about me when I'm discouraged or when I'm frustrated or when I'm going through a difficult time or overwhelmed. When my father died a couple of years ago, many of the Jericho Road friends here came alongside. They prayed for me. They asked about me. They were concerned for me, even though I'd only been at church for about 4 months. That matters. I need people to come alongside me when I'm hurting. And every one of us needs this verse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, allowing people to come next to us, connect to us, so that they can help us navigate this world emotionally, so that we never feel alone, overwhelmed, and that we get to share our joy when the joy comes as well. It matters when people mourn with you. Like, it's a critical connection that aids healing, and it makes difficult times a little bit less difficult. But in the good times, having people around makes it even a little better. When the Rams won that Super Bowl a couple of years ago, it was so much better having... Oh, they didn't win. But if they had won, it would have been way better with people there high-fiving me. But healthy connections, healthy relationships, they take effort. Ephesians 4 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity, a connection that we have to guard with every effort. It's going to be hard. Like, this verse wouldn't exist if unity was easy. This verse wouldn't exist if connections were automatic. This verse says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. That means that it's going to take effort. And God understood that connections and relationships are effort-based. They're not always effortless. Sometimes, immediate connection, woo, effortless. Getting her to connect back 12 years later, that was not effortless. That was effort. Lots and lots of effort. It's not stalking. It's called love. Delayed, unknown. So this verse wouldn't exist if it were simple or effortless to make connections. Relationships and connections take work. Ask every married couple. Kids, turn to your parents. Do relationships take work, mom and dad? And they are about to tell you, yeah, they take effort. And we love one another, but it still takes effort. Because we all come with baggage. We come with hurts, warts. So together, we put forth effort to allow our connections to stay intact in peace, not in pieces. And the effort is all worth it. Because this is pleasing to God, and it's good for us. There's a Psalm 133, verse 1. It starts out this way. How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? And we end with this. How good is it to be connected to people? How pleasing to God and how beneficial to our own life? Look, we live in a world with increasing digital connections, an increased abundance of connection opportunities, yet it seems people are more isolated than ever. Have we missed something? We were created for connections. That's why the promise of digital connections is so enticing. The problem is it doesn't deliver on that which it promises. We were designed to be with actual people. The animals were not a satisfactory substitute for Adam when he was looking for a connection companion. God paraded the animals by and they were not a satisfactory substitute. They were not someone that he could connect with. It did not help his need for human connection. And today's modern animal, the smartphone, isn't an adequate substitute either. Instagram, Facebook, digital things are fine. But you have to have actual relationships with actual people. So be intentional. At Jericho Road, we say join a small group. Heck, you could just start your own small group if you want, based around a common interest. Don't miss church, if at all possible. For you, for your good, but also for the goodness of others. They need you as much as you need them. Maybe commit to not even being late at church. I know that's huge. Meet together, love, bless, mentor, do life together, connect. You never know the impact that your simple smile or your handshake or bowed greeting can make in the life of another person. So I'd love for us to close together this morning, hearts connected and unified in a song of worship. Would you join us at home as we worship together?